Economic Development, International Trade and Tourism. The time is 10:15. Tuesday, February 10th. Let the record reflect there is a quorum. Representative Speaker of the House Pete Cotts here, Representative Dahlstrom, Representative Crawford, and myself, Chair Hines. On our agenda for today is House Bill 419, which is an act relating to regional seafood development associations and to regional seafood development taxes. May I have a motion to adopt 23 LS 1418/I for discussion?
Madam Chair,
we don't need a motion. Okay. Okay, Representative Ogg, would you come forward? Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair. My name for the record is Representative Dan Ogg. This is my staff aide, Melissa Dover. We're here to talk on House Bill 419. House Bill 419 came out of the Joint Salmon Task Force recognition of a thought process taking place in the state of Alaska where regions are trying to develop their own marketing. Some areas of the state that already have moved down this path through grants are the Olympic brand in the Alaska Peninsula, the Copper River Salmon brand out of Copper River, for instance, the Kodiak brand out of Kodiak, and a couple others too. During the task force meetings, the thought was that we could move to regional marketing and self-assess tax in those areas, and that's what this bill does. It allows regions of the state to set up a regional marketing development association. And statutes if they vote in or tax in it. With a tax rate that starts from 0.5% up to 2.5%, I believe what it says. The thought process, although it's not articulated in here clearly, but was being worked on, is that there would be a minimum of these regional organizations, and the groups that are within those regions would have the ability to self-assess themselves. And the first process they would have to do to get to that self-assessment was create themselves in a 501c3. They would approach the Commissioner of Community and Economic Development for an election of either their gear type, their fishery, or if they elect in, they had the ability to set the election would be a tax, and they could use that money to develop the seafood product in their area. I think it's a good thing. It's going to be a lot of support when we were on the Senate Task Force. Everybody seemed to be quite in favor of this. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Questions from the committee? Okay, I have.
Go ahead.
Like the Copper River Salmon, the ASME does not promote regional advertising, is that correct?
Absolutely. ASME is just a generic statewide Alaska seafood marketing organization.
So they market the fish, not the, and this is more of a regional brand?
They market Alaska seafood.
The market, the industry, right? No. Okay. Representative Crawford.
Chair, Representative Ogg, could you go into a little bit more about how they decide how you reach whether it's going to be a 0.5% or 1.5% or 2% that they assess themselves? How do they reach that decision?
The mechanism is it would be take a region, use Prince William Sound region. Presently, there's the Copper River Red group, and I believe I was talking with Jerry earlier that they have a 501c3 already, so they don't have to go to that step, but you create a 501c3. Then you decide amongst yourselves who is in that 501c3 what percent tax you would like that's going to promote your development of your seafood. And then you approach the commissioner. You need to get signatures of 25% of the folks who are permit holders in the group that you have, and you present that to the commissioner. And then the commissioner will set up an election in your permit size. And if you get 51% of the votes, then you are now a region that can market and develop their seafood products.
So it takes 51% of the membership or 51% of those who vote?
51% of those voting.
Representative Ogg, has the Board of Fish already created the 12 regions?
The Board of Fish has created regions in the state, and that's what the bill tracked. However, as we went through the process, we learned that some of the folks out west, namely Chignik and Alusha, they felt that the region that covered them was a little bit too broad, and they wanted that broken down into smaller sections, and that's reflected in the bill. And also the folks on the Yukon-Kuskokwim said that they had 900 miles of river, and that to put 900 miles of river into one region was a little too much, and they asked that be broken down also. And I believe the bill recognizes those breakdowns.
So this was from the Board of Fish or from the Salmon Task Force that these regions are further broken down?
It was by the Salmon Task Force, their recommendation to the legislature.
And who will administer and collect the taxes?
Department of Revenue will do that.
Can you give us just a feel for where the 12 regions are? Just kind of.
Off the top of my head, we can state them here. Actually, I'll read them for you. There would be the Southeast Alaska Seafood one. That Southeast Alaska would cover up the Yakutat area. If you look at page 9 on the bill, actually, if you just look at those, Prince William Sound, that would include Cordova also. And then you move over to Cook Inlet, and you move to Kodiak Island area, which has some of the peninsula involved in it. Then you go Alaska Peninsula, which is farther down the Alaska Peninsula. Now the Aleutians is part of that region, but it's broken out now. And then the other islands, Atka, Amelia Islands, is another section of the Alaska Solutions. It was broken out. Then you move to Bristol Bay. Then you move to the Kuskokwim. This is where the Kuskokwim River is broken up. Yukon Northern area in Kotzebue. And then 12, the Northern Sound, Port Clarence, which is Norton Sound and up around Barrow. And those are the 12 areas. So you move around the state, most of the state, and then up the river.
Representative McGuire.
Yeah, good morning, Representative Bob. What, if any, effect will this bill have on ASME?
As it's presently written, it has no impact on ASME financially. These they're separate taxing mechanisms. Outside of that, it may assist ASME in the ability to develop seafood on a regional basis, something that ASME is unable to do right now. And so these guys could actually pick up an added development part of our seafood issue on a regional basis. So that would be assisting ASME.
And then, Madam Chair, is there anybody that would be paying both a salmon marketing tax and a regional tax?
Present mechanism, if you're in the salmon industry, yes. If you're in the whitefish industry, probably not. If those coming through, those issues may be addressed, but presently, no. There is language in here that requires these folks to work with ASME and work with the other regions. One of the concerns on that issue was that people didn't want another area poking them in the eye with a stick saying they're better than the other fellow. And so instead of saying you can't, we put the positive language in that you will work, or you will work with ASME, and you will work with other regions. That was one of the concerns of Copper River last year. Not on the regional level, not where the organizations in the state had done it, but the Aleutic folks had sold some of their fish to somebody else. And when it got down to the end line, the retailer said, why waste your money on Copper River? This stuff's better. And that caused a little heartburn for the Copper River folks. And they really wanted to have this non-compete type work together language, and the only way we could do that was in a positive.
Can I just continue? Absolutely not. Okay. Because the only reason I ask is I remember I carried the ASME reauthorization. It was going to sunset. And then we made some changes in there. We changed it to international and domestic marketing, which was initially kind of controversial, and then we were able to get agreement. But some of the fishermen that called in and testified in opposition to it were fairly vocal and felt strongly that, you know, they'd been, there was a group that had decided that they would pay this tax, and so they had to pay it, but they didn't really see what they were getting for their tax and didn't really feel like they had a voice in how to market their salmon and so on. And I could just envision a situation where we're giving the authority to a region, within the region, there are salmon, obviously, and then now you've got a person that's in effect paying perhaps a 2% tax to the regional and another 2% to the ASME. They're in effect 4%, and you know, it's not unlike what we do here. We say, well, we come here to represent the people, and so when we vote in a tax, we're voting, the people are in effect voting in a tax through us, right? But there are a lot of people that don't feel that way. So I want to know a little bit about how that would play out or could play out, or how somebody who had a concern about that would.
Well, I think the ASME thing, and that's why that ASME bill has been a great focus for the Salmon Task Force this year. The board grew to 24 people, and so everybody who was on there had their own tax or their own thing that they wanted to accomplish, and so representation started to become involved in it. And then there was an added tax on the ASME that's a 1% strictly for salmon. And so you have quite a few thousand salmon fishermen who would call up and say, what are you doing for me, because our tax is on there and the other fishermen aren't taxed. In a sense, they're taxed because they're taxed through the seafood business tax, which the processor pays. But everybody knows that those are stuff that gone down to the fishermen, in a sense, in your price of your fish. So, yeah, that's what you were hearing. You were hearing a lot of the salmon fishermen. What this does is say, we can do it on the local level. And so if you're voting in, and let's say, Kodiak, you go, you're the standard group, and you want to market your fish, your salmon, as a senator, then you get one of these 501c3s, and it's voluntary. You decide to vote to do this, so nobody else is making that decision for you. And all you need is the majority to vote, and then the tax comes in. And you go ahead and you market your salmon from your region, and I think that addresses the particular issue you're talking about.
And then this is my final last question. Do you see, being a lawyer, do you see any other implications to dividing or setting these regions out that could occur? I mean, you're doing it, and it sounds like through the Salmon Task Force, there was a little bit of shuffling that came about, complaints that folks had in the Yukon and others. But ultimately, you came up with regions of the state, divided the state into fishery regions, and for the purposes of allowing this tax to be put into place and marketing efforts to go forth. But do you see any other legal implications that could come about by setting those regions?
One legal implication that we were aware of, and that's why we laid out this tax structure and actually run it into the state issue. You could do that now, and that's what folks are doing. But they're doing it through a grant program. When the grant program comes, how do you tax people? And what happens in other areas, there's a group that runs around, and they file lawsuits on behalf of disgruntled association members saying you don't have the power to tax them. And then they break up these associations that want to promote their own product. But if you tie it into the state, then you have a legitimacy. And so we try to tie it in very minimally with the state and the taxing power and allow these people to be flexible And that gives that nexus we need to avoid those folks that want to destroy fishermen, or it doesn't matter what economic interests want to get together to promote themselves. We also try to incorporate the existing associations like Copper River or Kodiak. If there is a 501c3, we made that a triggering device. Create that first, then apply, then you become the one. And if others in that area want to come in, say the Whitefish guys want to come in under that area, they can vote into that.
Thank you.
Representative Ogg, the Kenai Wild, I know, has been fairly successful in its marketing effort. The Arctic PETA, that's new to me.
I'm sorry?
Arctic PETA? It's a regional brand that you're referring to in the bill. They're branding and labeling.
I'm missing that one. Perhaps my...
Arctic PETA, it's chum, another word for chum salmon.
Keta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. It's a fairly new one, along with Alusha. They're working to find markets. Arctic PETA is working to find markets for chum salmon.
So are they just beginning, just...
Yeah, they're fairly...
You can't measure their success yet.
Right.
And do you see that the 12 regions would compete against one another?
Madam Chair, I think that the language in here later says that the idea is for these folks to work with each other and work with ASCA. So we had to put that in the positive, because you don't have the ability to tell people you can't do something or you're going to enforce. So put the positive language in there, and if they don't, then there's a potential action, but that's the only way we're able to do it.
Any other questions from the committee? See, we have two from the audience. Thank you, Representative Ogg.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
We have Chuck Harlemert. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yeah.
From Department of Revenue.
For the record, my name is Chuck Harlemert. I'm with Department of Revenue Tax Division, and I'm really here just to answer your questions about that.
The fiscal note, we understand, cannot be completed at this date.
Well,
are you going to talk to us about the taxes on the fiscal note?
Madam Chairman, this is the type of bill that participants will elect the tax at a future date. So we're unable to guess how many will elect and how broad those levies will be. It's
hard to hear.
Oh, I'm sorry. I talked very well. So we simply can't predict what the consequences are.
Still can't hear you in the back. You're going to have to just kind of
I'll boom it
act
out,
like a cheerleader.
Well, to repeat myself, the levies here are elective, and none have been elected yet. We can't predict how many will be elected, and we really just don't know the scope of our responsibilities under the bill. We can't really put a price tag on it, or revenue. We don't have revenue data by fishery. It's not relevant to our taxes we collect right now, so we don't collect that information. So we can't really. We could work with Fish and Game, perhaps, come up with numbers, but this time we just don't have any revenue expectations or cost.
Is there any way you can give us some sort of a definitive date or time when you might have? No.
Madam Chairman, there is not, because we don't know what the program scope is.
Okay.
I made an attempt in the fiscal note to guesstimate at what level we could pick these levies up without additional resources within the Department of Revenue, and and it was just a rough guess that six very simple levies, fisheries could possibly be handled.
In case you all can't hear him, he's saying that six simple levies would probably cover this. Is that correct?
We could probably handle that with existing resources, yes.
And handle it with existing resources. I'll be your cheerleader for that.
What did I say?
Six simple levies. Questions at this point from the committee? Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks.
Okay, then we have Glenn, is it Haight?
Yeah, Haight.
Haight.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
And you're going to talk to us about the fiscal note.
I can do that, yeah. My name is Glenn Haight. I work as one of the fisheries development specialists with the Alaska Department of Community and Economic Development. At this point, the department hasn't drafted a fiscal note, and we'll get to work on that right away. We've just started to analyze the bill and haven't developed a formal position on it, but I look forward to working with Representative Ogg's office and understanding how it's to operate. Much like Department of Revenue, we really don't know the scope of what's going to be accomplished under this, but I think we can take some time to size it up and anticipate what will happen and get back to you folks.
Can you give us a definitive time frame?
Yeah, I'll work with, we have something together by the end of the week for you.
Questions at this point? No? Well, without a complete set of fiscal notes, I'd like to hold this bill over until next week and then reconvene. Representative Ogg, I want to... Yes, please.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to make a correction, and I probably misspoke because of these legal technicalities. The actual term is a 501K 6 or 7. So when I was saying 501C3, it's just what I'm used to. And somebody was very helpful. So I'd like to make that correction for the record.
Thank you, Representative Ogg. Let's hold this bill over until this coming Tuesday. Will that give you enough time to present us with the fiscal note? Okay, any questions up to this point? This meeting is adjourned.